You're listening to Pastor Bill Sirjak.
Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethon. While the water was flowing down to the Sea of Arbath, the Salt Sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Thank God that He has not left us alone to know what He is like. But He's revealed Himself in a way that we can understand by becoming man in the person of Christ. And that revelation is accurately retained for us. And this is Holy Word. If you were to read this whole story and go further back into the Old Testament when Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and began the journey to the Promised Land, you would get a more complete picture of all that is going on there. One of the things that you will notice as they left Egypt, as they were miraculously led across the Red Sea again by the waters being parted, and then the army of Egypt that followed them were drowned in the Red Sea. And then they went on into the wilderness and went over to cross toward where they would cross into the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. But they didn't go into the Promised Land. As a matter of fact, they wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. And you might wonder, why in the world did they wander in the wilderness for 40 years? If you look at this passage that we're reading this morning about Joshua, you might begin to see why they did. One of the things that amazes me about this passage in these early parts of the book of Joshua, Joshua gives orders, tells them what God had told him, and tells them what they are going to do, and the people just immediately set about doing it. One of the things that happened with Moses, every time Moses had something from God or a direction that they should go in with the Lord, is that he brought it to the people, and the people just started mumbling and grumbling and complaining that they should have never left Egypt, they should have stayed back where they were before. There was a continual grumbling, and finally God solved the grumbling problem. He waited 40 years until all the grumblers died. Then there was a whole new group of people that began to go into the Promised Land. That seems like maybe a drastic thing, but that was the way God did it. He waited for the grumblers to die out and begin to have people who would really trust God, who would trust the leadership that God had sent, and would actually follow God. And you know, that's not a whole lot different from the way it works when we become Christian. You see, we are very much like the Jews were in Egypt. The Jews were slaves to the Egyptians, but they'd actually gotten comfortable in their slavery, and they began to live in a way that they could operate within their slavery, and they knew they were protected, and they knew they were taken care of. In the wilderness or in the Promised Land, it was something completely different, and it was something that they didn't know. And they had a hard time trusting God to begin to bring in a completely new way of life. When we become Christians, one of the things that happens to us, according to the New Testament, particularly in the writings of Paul and almost all of his writings, it talks about us being set free from the slavery of sin, being set free from the sin that is there in our own lives, that we might then begin to live a new life. But usually we have a hard time doing that. We have a hard time leaving behind the old way of life. As a matter of fact, we keep trying to hang on to that. And we keep thinking in terms of that God is going to bless us in that way. And so we can't seem to let go of the old pattern. And the Jews evidently couldn't either. They couldn't let go of the old patterns of slavery that they'd had in Egypt. And so God had to let them die off. Amazingly, He does the same thing with us. We have old patterns of life that have been ingrained in us. And one of the things that the New Testament calls us to do is that it calls us to die. The work of the Holy Spirit is to set us free from sin. And also the work of the Holy Spirit is to encourage us, to help us die to old ways, that we might begin to live new ways, that we might begin to live in the way that God has called us to live, in the Promised Land. We have old ways of slavery in our world today, and probably one of the most prominent ways of slavery is materialism. Even when we think in terms of how God blessed us, invariably we will look at the material things that we have in our lives that's so heavily ingrained in us that that's immediately what comes to mind. And it is a slavery. It causes us to continue to give up more and more of our lives to get more and more things. Many times we find out we don't even want and really aren't all that helpful for us. One of the things that I've done in mission trips is to go in poverty areas. One of my favorite ministries was a group in Chattanooga called Widow's Harvest. They take the biblical norm very seriously, where it says the church is supposed to take care of the widows and the orphans. What their ministry is directed toward is many of the widows who are the poorer widows in downtown Chattanooga who can't get the basic works done around their house to be able to go in and help them get that work done. For the last several years, I've led several crews who went into people's homes, mostly widows, and do some of the repair work around the house. I like it. It's a neat ministry. And one of the hardest parts is going into the homes and trying to deal with all the junk that is accumulated there. There was one home that was particularly difficult that we went into where we were trying to patch some of the ceiling in one of the rooms, and there was stuff piled up everywhere to the point where you could only have a pathway through each room. So whenever we did any of the repairs on the walls or on the ceilings, we'd have to take the stuff, move it all away, go in, make the repair work, and then move all the stuff back. For many of the people, and I think this is particularly true in our country, many of the people who we would consider poor people, one of the things that would really help is that they could get rid of a lot of their stuff. But somehow, the materialism is so deeply ingrained into our lives that we begin to think that those things are what really brings us pleasure. Many times those things are the very things that are getting in the way of our lives to be able to really enjoy the life that God has given us. God's not calling us to be an ascetic, to live without things. I was intrigued a couple of weeks ago in our Tuesday night Bible study, the teaching that was in the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, talking about the guy who built barns. His barns were filled. And he said, I know what I'll do. I've been blessed. My barns are full. I'll tear down these barns and build bigger barns so that I can acquire more. Jesus said, you fool. He pointed out to him that your soul's desired of you. He was not so sure whether the guy was going to die or whether all those things were going to take a little soul from him so that he would lose some of his decision-making ability. But he was nonetheless called a fool because he had enough. What Jesus was encouraging him to do after he had enough was to share with people who don't have enough. That's a different way of life. The mentality of the man who would build bigger barns is one that is very thoroughly rooted in our way of life, in our thinking. We keep wanting to build bigger and bigger ones instead of learning a different way of life where we're trusting in God. He's given us enough. He's blessed us. We don't really need to move to another level, but that he's satisfied. God has called us to give up old ways and enjoy the new way he has for us in the world. That is one of the things that's going to bring us some of our great joy. Sometimes we think that we come to Jesus Christ to fulfill ourselves. In actuality, we come to Jesus Christ to die of ourselves. However that might be, it's kind of like coming into a marriage. You don't come into a marriage and say, well, what am I going to get out of this marriage? Actually, you come into a marriage to give up yourself for the other person and for God. Then God makes a new creation. He makes us into something completely new. It is like with the people of Israel. A whole bunch of people had to die. Fortunately, the way it works in the New Testament is that we are freed from our slavery of sin, and then the Holy Spirit brings us to the point of dying. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Love to be able to read this and see how the Jews were so willing to say, what Joshua did, they immediately did it. The presence of God resulted in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was where the glory and the presence of God dwelt in the world at that time. And it was at the center of the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died for our sins, the veil around the Holy of Holies was torn in two. and the power of God was now everywhere. It was interesting for me to watch the Jews as they watched the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, being out there in front of them. And as they got to the Jordan River, and the priests got their feet in this Jordan River, and the power of God was there and was with them so powerfully that although the Jordan River was a flood stage when you would never be able to walk across the river, and God didn't just bring along drought so that he could walk across the river, he backed up the water so that they could see the power of God. And then each person filed past the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the Jordan River to remind them of the presence of God that was now with them and would be with them as they continued to conquer in the Promised Land. It was a new day. And for us, it's a new day too, as we begin to leave behind the old slavery of our past, the opportunity of experiencing the wonder of the land that God has promised to us, the joy and the fullness of the life that is there that God has given us.